understand that many people gave her an ovation. I don't remember ever being given an ovation for any of my messages. So I'm a little bummed out, but it's okay. It's all right. But anyway, just wanted to say that last week's portion is really the pivotal event for the Jewish people and in the scriptures, the most pivotal event really until Yeshua came on this earth. And this event was originally initiated with Abraham, commissioned with Moses, and empowered by Yeshua, which was that the Jews would become the priests to the nations. That's what happened at Mount Sinai, in part. The question is what is a priest? And a priest is one who stands before God for men, and he stands before men for God. That's essentially what a priest is. And in fact, in the modern world, really, of all groups that probably capture the concept of a priest best, as interestingly, is the Catholic Church. So if you remember, a priest in the church, Catholic Church, is an intermediary, so that the person receives forgiveness by going to the priest, and then the priest teaches the people. So in other words, the priest is representing God to the people, and then they're coming through the priest to the Lord. That is the actual real definition of a priest. Now, Israel, as a nation, God reveals himself through Israel as a nation to the rest of the nations. And the nations approach God through Israel. So in other words, he reveals himself through Israel, and the Lord and the people come to the Lord through Israel. So they function as a mediating nation. We later learn in the Torah, in the coming weeks that we'll be reading here, is that Israel herself requires her own priesthood. Israel functions as a priestly nation to the nations, but still needs to be made holy and needs intercession, or needs instruction through the priesthood. So Israel functions as a priestly nation, but in and of itself, it also needs a priesthood within it. Now, what's interesting is much later, long after the scriptures were written, the rabbis claimed the authority to function as a type of priesthood of sorts. They claimed the authority from Deuteronomy chapter 17, which gives them the authority of decision-making over the Jewish community and the Jewish people. But I believe that the real priesthood of the nation of Israel are the Messianic Jews. And why is that the case? Because Yeshua himself is our high priest. He makes that clear. And even in the scriptures, the high priest needs functionaries and assistants always. And so whereas Yeshua is the high priest, he uses his followers as the subsidiary priesthood, and we are his followers. Our role as a Messianic Jewish community is central to the plan of God for the entire world. If the Jews are the priestly nation to the nations, then we're the priests to the Jews. And so consequently, the role that we play is absolutely vital and integral for God's purposes for the nations of the earth. Now, I want to examine this whole concept of priesthood in the scriptures to try to understand what does it mean. What does it mean to be a priest? The first thing it means, which is in your outline there, is that the priests are always part of the people. In other words, to be an effective priest, one must know about the condition of the people. One must experience what the people experience. It's often said to really be a good counselor, to really be able to effectively help people, that you need to be able to understand suffering yourself, to really know what it's like so that you too can have compassion and minister to those people that are around about you. And so to be an effective priest, you must first be able to experience what the people experience. This is what it is said of Yeshua in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, for this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to the Lord. So Yeshua experiences all that man experiences so that he can represent being a priest to the people. Now, there's two temptations that we have as Messianic Jews, or being part of a Messianic Jewish community, to isolate ourselves from people. One problem is that the Messianic community is often persecuted by the larger Jewish community at some level. And the second problem is that sometimes Messianic community feels that they're holier than other people. In other words, they're special, and so they don't want to mingle and mix with the mainstream. You see, we need to take Yeshua as our model. He was definitely holier than anyone else around about him, and yet he always hung around with the common people. Even sinners, so to speak. He always hung around with them. And if Yeshua was here today, I can guarantee you that he would be both in the synagogues and in the clubs. He would be in both places because he was part of the people. He's a priest of the people, and he understood their experiences. And so we too need to learn that we need to be among the people that we're called to be among. That we can't isolate ourselves for whatever reason if we think that, oh, wow, they're not into what we're into. They're involved in sinful activities like being in clubs and drinking. Oh, my gosh, that's horrible. And so we just kind of stay away. But when you do that, you separate yourselves from the people around about you and you become completely ineffective. And then there's the other issue of persecution. See, the problem is we in the Messianic community we're probably one of the few believers in America that suffer any kind of persecution, really. Because let's face it, America is generally a Christian nation. Most people, you know, in other words, pretty much everybody goes to church and so forth. And so most believers in America are generally not persecuted, but that's not true of Messianic Jews. Because we are persecuted at some level, albeit mild, because of the Jewish people's resistance to our community and to the Messiah, but usually because of historical factors. And so what happens? What do we do when a person is persecuted? Often it causes us to isolate ourselves because we don't want to feel bad. You know, we want to be included and not excluded. And so if people don't want us to be around, then we tend to isolate ourselves and remove ourselves from the community. And so sometimes we're shunned. Sometimes we're made fun of. Sometimes we're not invited into the in crowd. And so we feel that, well, you know, if they don't want us, then I'm going to form my own relationship separate from the larger community. And we become we have a fortress mentality of just spending all of our time with ourselves where we kind of accept one another. And then it's hard to get in and hard to get out. It's always hard to get in and hard to get out of a fortress. And that's the problem. Yeshua didn't shrink from persecution because he knew who he was. And we must also know who we are. Yeshua, the scripture says, sits at the right hand of the Father. And it also says that we sit with him as well in heavenly places. We're part of the priesthood, and we must be part of the people around about us. We can't shrink back just because people don't like us. We're part of the community, and we're here to stay. And we need to insist on it no matter what. Now, number two, priests act as intercessors before God. It's interesting, when you read the scriptures, you see that the priests are performing sacrifices all the time, whether the people have brought the sacrifices to the priests or not. They have a regular sacrificial system. And so they understood that their role was to stand before God for the people. Even if the people weren't accepting the priests, they were still sacrificing for the people no matter what, because they acted as intercessors before the Lord. Messianic Jews, by their very existence, act as intercessors. When we keep the Shabbat, when we pray the prayers, when we worship in here, when we are acting and we keep the Torah through Yeshua, we are acting as intercessors for our people. See, the word of intercession is often misunderstood. It's this concept that we have to get down on our knees and be seeking the Lord, you know, diligently and so forth for the sake of the people around about us. No, I mean, I agree that's part of it, but there's a bigger part of it. Which is that when we act out who we are as Messianic Jews, but through Yeshua, we're acting as intercessors by that very nature. And it's bringing blessing upon the larger community. Others don't have to accept it. It still acts on their behalf no matter what. In this way, one could argue that the Messianic Jewish movement is a monastic order of the Jewish people, believe it or not. It's like a Catholic monastery. You know, in the Catholic Church, the monks go off and they don't really mingle a whole lot with society. They just pray and pray and pray and seek the Lord. And it's for the benefit of the larger society around about them. So we too act as a type of monastic order of the Jewish world by acting out our Jewish life through Yeshua. And it acts as intercessors for the people. This is why Peter himself says in the scriptures that we are a royal priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Yeshua the Messiah. This is also why the devil hates us so much as a Messianic community. Because if the devil targets Jews throughout all of history through anti-Semitism, trying to destroy them off of the face of the earth because they're God's witness people to all the nations of the earth, and the enemy wants to prevent anybody coming to know the Lord, so he tries to demolish and destroy the Jewish people. How much more the Jews who help the other Jews become holy by their very existence? And so we are subject to spiritual warfare at a very high level because of that. Now, number three, the priests act as models for the larger community around about them. Today's portion is the unveiling of the covenant at Mount Sinai. And there's a whole detail of laws in today's portion, which really focus on two primary subjects, justice and mercy. Moses reads the laws. The people accept the responsibility of keeping them. And the whole point here is that the Lord is trying to make them into a model nation and a model society, God-centered, humanitarian, as a priestly nation for all the nations around about. Later, when the whole order of the priesthood is developed through the Torah, the priests are expected to keep even stricter laws. They're supposed to be even holier. They're living at a higher level than even the rest of the Israelites who are living at a high level already. And then when Yeshua comes and introduces the Messianic community, they're even to live at even a higher level, a greater model, which is detailed largely in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is really Yeshua replicating the Sinai experience, where he goes up on the mountain and he shares the Torah, but from an enlightened and higher perspective. And this is what Yeshua says on that mountain that day. He says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And so he challenges the people right off by saying, look, it was said to you long ago that you shall not murder. But I say unto you, and what Yeshua is doing is he's employing a Pharisaical teaching technique known as being from the lesser to the greater, the less responsibility to the greater. So he says, it was said to you long ago that you shall not murder. But I say to you, you shall not be angry with your brother. And if you get angry, you'll be subject to the judgment. From the lesser to the greater. So he's raising the level, the standard of living, the model standard, so that all the people will live at a higher level, so that they would recognize what does it really mean to be a priestly nation to the nations living at an extraordinarily high level. How do we do this other than living holy? I think, in part, it's ministering to those in need. Now, I want to give you an example and an opportunity to this, and I want with that to segue into what happened in Israel. About a month and a half ago, I was invited by a Knesset, Israeli Knesset committee to come to Israel representing the American Messianic Jewish community. And that was to partner with the government in assisting the poor. When I got the call, I was completely shocked. I was called from Jerusalem. And it was hard to even believe that the call had even existed. Because let's face it, Messianic Jews generally have been persecuted in Israel. They're not usually liked, and all of a sudden the Israeli government is calling us. And so I didn't really know what to make of it. I insisted on certain things that were supposed to happen before, because we had to pay our way over there. And myself and Russ Resnick, another leader of our national organization, flew over last week. And we met with a member of the Knesset. We spent all day with him. And then we had dinner with him the following day. And basically what they're proposing was to partner with the Messianic Jewish community in bringing funds in to help the poor in Israel, a whole series of projects. I was stunned. You know, and I challenged what was his motivation and so forth. And he just talked about that he really believed, you know, even though he didn't accept, obviously, Yeshua being the Messiah, he basically said, look, we're waiting for the Messiah, Son of David. You believe Yeshua is him? When he comes? Well, no. That's pretty much it. And it was just, it was completely shocking. And so we've agreed to partner with him, with them, known as Messianic Jews, not going to be done secretly, going into Israel, bringing in funds to assist in various projects. He offered us one particular project that we're going to be doing right now. We went up to a military base, and what they want to do is they want to give Passover, special Passover baskets to the families of fallen soldiers. These are soldiers that were killed in Israel, and the families that are grieving, and to give them baskets for Passover, because, you know, Passover is a kosher, very kosher holiday. And so we met with the military commanders and so forth, talked with them about it, and we've agreed to do that. What does that mean? That means raising $15,000 in the next month and sending it over there. And that's not just $15,000 from our congregation, but but it's from the other congregations of our national organization to send over there. And so what we're going to do is we're going to, at Purim, 2 weeks from now, actually, we're going to have a special offering here because we do it every holiday. And Purim is to remember the poor. That's part of the celebration of this day. And we're going to donate money to give to these grieving families over there for Passover. That's what the purpose of it's going to be. And then secondly, we were taken to a children's home in the same city that has a relationship with the ministry, the military. And I did some video of that orphanage. And so with that, I want to show you a little bit of the video clips of this orphanage and so forth. And so they can go ahead and I'm going to show it to you at this point. And that's not quite it. So this is our first attempt at this whole thing during a service. Okay, it's got a few glitches, but you know how it is. Okay. Is it going to happen? Okay. We need the video part. Okay, that was it. Just keep it going there. Okay, this is inside the orphanage. These are Israeli military people with us. And that's Russ Resnick on the back. And the man with the beard is the head of the orphanage. This is the Knesset member right there. Okay, that gives you a taste of what we saw over there and what we want to help. And this, I'm just saying that this program that we're now going to be participating in, we're going to be participating in with the government of Israel, known as Messianic Jews from America, and helping the poor in Israel, a tremendous opportunity. And this is what it means to be a model as a priest, is to minister to those in need. Finally, priests are bearers of light. Remember, standing before men for God, that's what this is all about. And it's the trickiest part for Messianic Jews to bear the light of Yeshua because of the history of Yeshua and the Jewish people. You see, when we say Yeshua, what do our people think? Well, what I mean is, when we talk about that, it's like association. You know, when I say the word blue, what do you think about? Well, you think about the sky, think about the ocean, think about the rug, you know, whatever. That's association. Well, when we say Yeshua, what do our people think about? Well, they think about the Crusades. They think about the Inquisition, the Holocaust, persecution, the Goyim, the other, the Meshumed, which means apostate. And yet we know, just as Simeon received Yeshua as a child in the temple when he proclaimed that he is the light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. That's who we know him to be. The biggest problem that our people, for our people, is that they don't see him as one of us because he belongs to the Goyim. And it's the greatest tragedy of all. But that can't prevent us from witnessing to who he is. It simply means changing our approach. This is what Peter said about Yeshua. He says, in your hearts, set apart Messiah as Lord. Always, repeat that with me, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But, do this with gentleness and respect. You and I have the answer. People are looking for meaning. They're looking for answers, like Aaron was sharing earlier in his drash. People are looking for meaning and for answers. You have the answer. But sometimes answers can cause arrogance or pushiness. And that's why the scripture says that we're to do this, share this good news with gentleness and respect. But we're not just to be available to answer questions to those around about us, but the Lord expects us to be proactive in witnessing about Yeshua. Why is that? What are we to do? I believe we're to pray for opportunities. Pray for friends, neighbors, co-workers, family, that an opportunity be given that we can share the good news of who Yeshua is. To make Yeshua known, when possible, without awkwardness. You see, this is the day, this is the hour for the salvation of our people. What I saw in Israel, I never thought I would ever see in this day. I never thought I would ever see that the government wants to work in cooperation with the Messianic Jewish world to bring a blessing to Israel. That's who we are. That's what God's called us to be, is a blessing, is to bring a blessing to the people. And now we're given the opportunity to be able to do it. 36 years ago, when I came to know Yeshua, there were no Messianic Jewish congregations in the world. Now there's 300 in the United States. There's over 100 in Israel. There's so many in Israel that we spent this entire week, when we weren't meeting with politicians, running around and meeting with Messianic leaders, and we just couldn't keep up. Everybody wanted to meet with us. We just couldn't keep up. 15 years ago, you're going to walk through, never would have seen anybody. It's completely changed. There's over 100 Messianic congregations in the former Soviet Union. There's some in Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, England, France, Germany, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. Wherever there's Jewish communities, there's now Messianic Jewish congregations. Because this is the day, this is the hour that God is enlightening our people and allowing us to be the blessing that God has called us to be. I believe that this is the most exciting period of world history. And you know what? You and I are part of this. That's what's amazing about it. You are a priest to a priestly nation. That's what God has called you to be. It's helping to usher in God's purpose for all of humanity. It's not just for Israel, but Israel's to bless all of humanity. And when we bless our own, it enables them to bless others, and the entire world is touched. This is a great privilege, but it's also a great responsibility. And my challenge to you today is, are you willing to step up to the call, to what God wants you to be the priest that God wants you to be in all these realms that I said, because he wants to use you. He has a destiny for you, just like Aaron shared during the drash. And what would you trade away a destiny from God for all the riches of the world? I've been at a place, as many of you know, where there was a lot of riches of the world and a lot of power. And I wouldn't trade what I have now for that. Because this is the thing that makes all the difference in the world. Let's close in prayer. Well, Lord, we thank you. Lord, what a great opportunity. What a great hour to live. And Lord, help us to have the bigger vision. Help us to break out of the limited life that we live in, Lord, and see the bigger picture of what you're doing, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity that has just come about to work in partnership with the nation of Israel, Lord. What a great blessing and opportunity, a privilege at every level, Lord. And Father, help us to be worthy, the worthy of this place, Lord, and don't let us blow it, oh God. Father, help us to be humble before you, to be people who bless and not curse, Lord, to join hands and not to exclude. And Lord, we thank you most of all for Yeshua, Lord, who took our place, Lord, and laid down his life for us and for all the nation of Israel and for all of humanity, Lord. We honor you today, oh God, as we commit ourselves to follow you and to step up to the plate to do what you've called us to do in this hour. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me close with the Aaronic benediction. Again, we will be talking about this in the next couple of weeks. A couple of weeks, we're going to take an offering for this great cause. And we close with the benediction today. Yivarechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yared Adonai p'na v'lecha v'ichunecha. Yisar Adonai p'na v'lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. If you need prayer, please feel free to come forward. We have Oneg lunch downstairs and the bookstore will be open. Shabbat shalom.